Today on Real Radio.
How prayer introduces us to God is that every human has a desire, or at some point in time will have a desire to cry or call out to God. Even the atheist who doesn't know God, doesn't even believe in God. That deep-seated, lost soul that he is will have a cry that will come out from the depths of his gut. In his moment of peril, he'll cry out and say, "Oh God, help me," even though he's an atheist. He may be a Darwinian. He may be someone who believes in evolution. But when it's all said and done, he'll cry out to God in his moment of terror or panic.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I? We're in a study series called Why Should I Pray? Now, there are answers to that question that are quite obvious. Most often we might say, well, because I need help in this or that area of my life. But there are other reasons that are not so obvious, but that are found in Scripture. Let's continue in this study called Why Should I Pray? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
When I do pray, I do understand that when I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I understand exactly what that request for every believer to pray is all about. When we do pray, Lord, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Scripture commands us, what we're actually asking is for the return of the Messiah. That's what that prayer means. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew that or not. But there will be no peace. Jesus himself said that there'll be a time of wars and rumors of wars just before the end. And so these are tremendous times. All the better, we need to be people of prayer. We need to understand prayer. And we are in a series right now entitled the Why Should I series. Corny title, but we've been having fun going through these topics. And this morning we will end the topic that we started a couple weeks ago entitled Why Should I Pray? And that's where we're at this morning. Why should I pray? And again, we are in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, where there the Bible says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. That is the preaching of Peter on those southern steps of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. They're there today. You can stand on them. We preached a message right on these very steps, except we didn't have 3,000 people added to us that day. Verse 42 goes on and says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, plural, note that. Then awe or reverence or fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. That's a good thing. And they had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and in the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so now we look to this, verse 42, that they continued steadfast in prayers. They were a praying people. They were a praying church. Early on, the church knew from the very beginning, and we saw last time with the apostles and the disciples learning how to pray. Right from the beginning, they saw Jesus pray, and then they said, Master, teach us to pray. They enjoyed it. They were excited about it, that there was a connection between heaven and earth that they can embark upon and experience. And so we remember that we saw that prayer introduced us to God. And we looked at three things. Number one, how prayer introduces us to God is that every human has a desire, or at some point in time will have a desire to cry or call out to God. And we made a strong point about how even the atheist who doesn't know God, doesn't even believe in God, how when the atheist is in his moment of crisis, that deep-seated, lost soul that he is will have a cry that will come out from the depths of his belly, from the depths of his gut, In his moment of peril, he'll cry out and say, "Oh God, help me," even though he's an atheist. He may be a Darwinian. He may be someone who believes in evolution. But when it's all said and done, he'll cry out to God in his moment of terror or panic. And it was said by Billy Graham in all of his years of ministry, he said, "I've never once yet met a true atheist. Because when the chips are down and everything comes crumbling and life's falling apart, man will cry out." Why is that the case? And we studied about how down inside is an ancient residing ember of what once Adam and Eve enjoyed in the Garden of Eden. It's been handed down through us that there's this concept within us that God somehow may exist. And you may be entertaining that thought. Or maybe you're in a moment of crisis. Or maybe this morning you're saying, "You know what? None of that's going to befall me. I'm the controller of my own life. I'll do my own thing." And I understand that thinking. I remember thinking just like that. But God has his way of pulling the carpet right out from underneath your feet. It may not be carpet, though. It could be something else that gets your attention. But we have this desire as a human to call out to a greater power. The key is to know who that power is. And then we saw that we're introduced by prayer into God because we learned that God is willing to hear from us. That's encouraging. God wants to hear from us. He wants us to pray to him. And we encourage one another to pray. Why? Because God is waiting. He's listening. He wants to hear. And so when we pray, we don't need to be defeated, but we need to be encouraged. So often we enter into prayer and we're already defeated before we go. And that's not the way to go. Friday, for example, how would you think if you were in the French army? Jacques Chirac on Friday said, "The French do not believe in war." Well, nobody wants war. You got to be a lunatic if you want war. But they do have an army. I wonder why. Because your neighbor might believe in war. But tragically, he said, can you imagine telling your troops, "We don't believe in war. You've got guns, you've got tanks, you've got airplanes, you've got, but we don't believe in war." And then you look at the history of France and the wars they fought, no wonder why they don't believe in war. They haven't won a war yet. So then can you imagine being in their army and then your president says, "We don't believe in war. In fact, the reason why we don't is because we haven't won a war yet." Well, how would you like to go to battle like that? Well, here we go. Where? I don't know. But history says we're not going to win. That's not much encouragement. Many people will pray. Oh, no, you mean I got to pray? Well, why is it such a bummer to you? Because you've had a horrible prayer experience. Why is that the case? Why would you say, "I don't think God answers prayer"? Well, wait a minute. I want to argue with you. I know he does. In fact, I know that the prayers he hasn't answered is either my fault or I asked something stupid. You know that kind of prayer. "Oh God, if you just bless me with that Ferrari, I'll take kids to church in it, you know? Every Sunday, I'll drive kids to church. You can only get two people in it. But God, just give me that Ferrari, and I promise I'll dedicate it to you." God goes, "Not." Or maybe I'm praying for something or about something that God has no desire to back whatsoever. "Ah, I think I'm going to start a business. Or I think I'm going to invest in that company." And you pull out your check and you write out a check and you send it or you invest it or whatever happens. And come on, I got a board together. I've got money together. We're going to go embark upon this great entrepreneur trip. It's going to be wonderful, this journey. And you get halfway down the thing and it's rolling. And then none of the bills come in 30 days later and you got to pay for stuff. And then you say, "Oh God, God help us. Lord, will you bless this?" And God says, "I'm not getting anywhere near that thing. It's a bad idea. It's going to flop." And a lot of people live like that. We get going on something and then say, "Hey, God, get on board. Come on. It'll be great." And God says, "I'm not getting within 100 yards of that thing." Many times we do that because we fail to seek God in the direction that we're going. Ronald Reagan made a great statement at the presidential prayer breakfast years ago. Someone had gotten up. Every president, by the way, if you don't know, every president has in February the presidential prayer breakfast. I had my wife and I the high honor to attend one of those prayer meetings with the president. It was tremendous. It's very wonderful. But one of the guys got up and said, God, we ask you to get behind us and to strengthen us as a nation and to go before us. And everyone's going, amen, yahoo, you know. And then Ronald Reagan got up and he said, and he was the president at the time. He said, well, wait a minute. It's not important if God gets behind us. What's important is that we get behind God. That's the important thing. God, you lead. God, you guide. God, we'll follow. Jesus said, once he rose from the dead, the angel made the announcement. He says, go into Galilee, for the Lord has gone on before you. And that's true about every spiritual thing in our lives. You don't need to raise your hand, but if you're a Christian in here this morning, that's how we live our lives. The Lord goes on before us, and so we follow. And it's a beautiful thing because you may be a leader of a group. You may have influence in your community. You might be a business owner or operator, whatever the case might be, and you're the leader. You're the CEO. You're the president. You're it. And yet the greatest way to be a leader is to learn how to be a follower. The greatest followers become the best of leaders. King David could tell us a story about that. But maybe you have great influence in this community. And that's a great thing. And I know many of you do. Some of you are holding political office in this area. What you need to do is make sure that you're following Jesus and let the success be in his hands. That's very important. God is willing. And then God alone is the answer. We saw that last time. Now this morning, we'll get into our study. Point number one to our study today, why should I pray, is that as we looked at, prayer introduces us to God. Number two, and here we are today, number two, prayer connects us to God. Prayer connects us, jot it down, to God. And it's this way. We want to ask this question. How are we connected to God by prayer? That's an important, that's a really deep, you got to write that down. That's a deep theological question. See, we just throw up a prayer. There it goes. But how does it get up there? So what do you mean? Well, let me put it to you like this. On what basis does God answer prayer? You think he's just like Santa Claus sitting up there waiting. Well, if they just ask, I'll give it. No. You think prayer is somehow a vehicle by which we get our will done? Hey, God, this is what I want. No. On what basis is God even putting himself in the position to answer our prayers? Have you ever thought about that? You need to think about it, because if you think about it biblically, it's going to give you a lot of encouragement. I'll tell you why. If it's whimsical in a non-biblical view, you're going to think of things like this. God, answer my prayer because I've been really good this week. God, answer my prayer because I'm an American. You know, everyone thinks God's American. He's not American. God, do this because. Why do we think like that? We've always thought like that. And it's so funny because when our kids come to us thinking like that, we can spot it a mile away. You know what I'm talking about? When they come up, you know, and they're little, hi, Daddy. Well, hi. I love you. I love you too. You know something's coming. Daddy, you don't want me to be embarrassed, don't you? No, I don't. Mm-mm. I would never want you to be embarrassed. So, you know those shoes at the store? Those ones for $125,000 that all my friends have? You got to have them to be really cool, you know? So can I have a pair of those? No, you may not. Don't you love me? Sure do. Aren't I your little girl? Yes, you are. Well, why can't I have the shoes? Because you know what? We don't have $125,000 for those Air Jordans or whatever they are, and you're not going to get them because you know what? We can't afford them, and even if we could afford them, it's a bad thing. Because you know what? In about a month, you're going to be, your foot is too big. You grow. You're not going to get it. And we do that with God. Hi, God. You love me, huh? Yes, I do, he says. And I'm your little Jack, aren't I? Yes, you are. Oh, that's good. You know, God, everybody else has got one. If I could have one of those, that'd be great. And God says, no. I thought I was your little Jack. You are. I thought you loved me. I do. But we come to God with this thing about prayer that will somehow work enough good efforts and then he's obligated to answer prayer. Not true. He's not bound by any standard whatsoever to answer our prayer except one, and that is on the basis of the merit of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is our high priest. We go directly to him, says the scripture. We consult him. And so how are we connected to God by prayer? Is that we are connected to God by prayer on the basis of the merit of Jesus Christ. Now that's encouraging because it's not my merit, you see? I can say, Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would bring peace to my home or bring a healing to my home or bring blessing to my home. On what if God were to say, on what basis do you want me to bring this peace? On the basis of your son, on the basis of what Christ did on the cross for me. Father, can you imagine if we just dialogued with God that way? Would you dialogue with him using your Bible? Then you're going to win your argument, which God in the beginning wanted you to win anyway. Or will you say, well, because I just want it, that's why. You're going to lose. But when you say, you know what, Lord, I'm asking for your will to be done in my life. And then God will say things like, really? Yes, Lord, I do. Will you give all of your life to me? Yes, Lord, all of my life to you. Will you give this area? Yes. Will you give this area? Yes. Will you give this area? Yeah. And God says, good, right there, let's go to work on that. I give you my life, we told him. And God will answer prayer, our prayers, in accordance with his will, on the basis of Christ's merit. So that when we do pray, listen, this is encouraging to us spiritual weaklings. It's not like we think Billy Graham prays and boom, God answers. Oh, it's Billy Graham's prayer. Wham! God must answer. It's the prayer of Billy Graham, or it's the prayer of Charles Stanley, or Chuck Smith prayed, and boom, there's the answer. God doesn't go, hey, listen, whoo, there's Billy Graham praying. Man, write it down, that's really a great prayer. He doesn't do that. He doesn't grade any prayers. When that prayer is offered up to God according to his word, based upon the merit of Christ, God will answer prayer. You see, you and I are not always excited about the answer, though. You see older people, they ask God and then they leave it alone. Have you noticed that? They ask the Lord. You know, Paul asked three times, so they'll ask three times. And then they leave it alone. So, man, how come you're not stressing over it? I just learn over the years, leave it in the hands of the Lord. How can you do that? Because I learned over the years, leave it in the hands of the Lord. See, we want to manipulate and play and massage it until we think we're going to get God's ear to get the answer we want it to go. We want to stack the deck. I want a yes answer. Everybody wants a yes answer. We all want yes answers. Sometimes he says no. I can't stand, though, when he says, wait. Well, what's the answer? Wait. Is it yes or no? Wait. I don't like that one. You have to have patience, and this is the 21st century. We don't have that anymore. How are we connected to God by prayer? Is on the merits of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, now we can have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Man, doesn't that sound like the door is wide open for us to come and talk to God now? Are you guys awake?
Yes.
The door is wide open. We're connected to God based upon the merits of Christ. By the way, Jesus made it very clear. Ushers, guard the doors. Jesus made it very clear that if you're going to pray to the Father, you need to do it through the Holy Spirit in his name.
Amen.
There is no such thing as a prayer without it being in the name of Jesus Christ, says the Bible. Think about it. Well, Pastor, I don't like you for saying that. I didn't say it. I'm only telling you what the Bible says. Jesus says nobody comes to the Father but through me. Well, that's pretty narrow. Yeah, it is. Deal with it. That's what he said. You can ignore everything he said until the third day when he rose from the dead. Now you got to sit up and listen. And he said, nobody goes to the Father but through me. He said, when you pray, pray to the Father through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, and God will answer your prayer. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 7, if my Bible, if my word abides in you, you may ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Pray the Bible. If you don't know how to pray, open the Bible and start reading it and then make that your prayer. That is an effective prayer life, I tell you. You'll get more done in 2 minutes of that kind of prayer than an hour in the other. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And listen, every priest on earth stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Don't confess your sin to me. I didn't die on the cross. If you confess your sin to me or to some other pastor or to a priest, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, you're still in your sins. You have to confess them to God. And so the scripture says that even a priest who stands daily and ministers cannot take away anyone's sins. But this man, verse 12, who after he had offered himself once as a sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of God the Father, Jesus Christ. Man, no wonder why we should pray directly to him. What an exciting, liberating thing that is about how to pray based upon the merit of Christ. Not the merit of yourself or the merit of anyone else or the merit of the saints, but upon Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called Why Should I Pray? And of course, we at Real Radio pray that you have a better understanding of prayer, especially that it is one of the greatest of life's privileges for the believer. There's more to come in this Why Should I Pray mini-series, so we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now, here's something to add to your prayer list. It's called the Southern California Prophecy Conference, taking place just after the first of the year. And you may be wondering why we're telling you about it this far in advance. Well, this is going to be a big one. Lord willing, of course, James 4:15. And Pastor Jack, I'm sure that you would agree this is going to be one of the most informative of events.
Well, Mike, I think the significance to this conference is the fact that we've got experts in their field speaking. And like I said before, some of them have come out of Islam. And they're saying what you're not hearing in the general public arena. For example, we're being told in the media that there's the radical side of Islam.
That's right.
And yet, these speakers that we'll hear at the Prophecy Conference, they've come out of Islam, and they're teaching, they're telling us, they're showing us that there is no such thing as radicalized Islam. They're saying that there is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. They're telling us that to be a Muslim is to obey the Quran, is to obey the teachings of Muhammad. And that is radical. If someone would take the time to read and look at history, invest a little time in the Quran, they will come away with the same understanding of these experts who lived it, Mike. They lived it. So if you'd like to learn more about what we're going to be hosting, you can go to SoCalProphecyConference.com. That's SoCalProphecyConference.com.
Okay, so that's SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us for any other reason, you can give us a call using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to make a contribution to the Real Radio Fund to help keep us on the air, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.